At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
I was at a Christian event last year, a Christian ministry. And as we walked in the door, there's a table about the size of this one over here, covered with wine bottles. And then they had the cooler with beer. All right, and I bet you by the time I left that place after about an hour, not one of those people would have told me they're drunk. But they sure were acting different than when I got there. That quiet person wasn't quiet no more. But if you ask them if the alcohol had influenced them at all, they'd say, oh, no, not at all. I'm fine. Okay, I'm just saying, you're not the best judge. You know what I'm saying? If we've seen those talent shows and somebody gets up and... Now, I'm going to age myself. I remember the Gong Show. It was the talent show of our day, young people. And the person would get up there and sing and do their talent. If you did really bad, they hit this big gong and you were kicked off. Now they hit a button and you get an X, I think. All right? So, but how many people actually thought they could sing well? At least I'm smart enough. No, I can't sing. You know what I'm saying? So, but you're not necessarily the best judge of how well you sing. You're not the best judge if you need a shower or not. You know what I'm saying? You're not necessarily the best judge to know that in my life, whether computer gaming is too much, whether TV is too much, whether how much I'm concerned about a neighbor, where it turns to gossip. You're probably not the best judge of that. And husbands, don't say a thing. Let someone else point that out. Yeah. All right. But my point is, we have this idea that under grace I get by with, but the Bible gives a list of things you can't get by with right after he says that. And if you want to claim the blessings, you better claim the other part, okay? You're not going to find scriptures in the New Testament, all right, telling you that you're going to be blessed, where typically everybody goes to the Old Testament, those same people, but they don't want to claim those. There are ones in the New Testament, but generally you see the ones that they quote. So these guys are having to use the law to bring peace back into civil war. As judges, that's what they're using. You know, you ought not to treat your neighbor like that. Why? Because over here in the law it says, well, you know, you shouldn't covet, and that's what, remember Abimelech, that's what it was all about. He was covering the place of power, and then one group, yeah, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's horse, the neighbor's cow, the neighbor's wife, the neighbor's new pickup. Okay, so it's the law. We have this idea that peace comes if we ignore the law, because after all, law divides. You know, those rules just divide people. And if we say you need to, or you ought to, or you shouldn't have, that just brings division, and we're not going to do that. But these guys heal division by being judges, by having the standard as the law. Okay? But the other thing we find about it, in the midst of all this civil war and idol worship that's going on, we know that there's at least two guys serving God, Tola and Jar. We know that, always. And if they're judging, they've got to be judging somebody that's willing to accept that, that's not out there taking an idol and an Asherah pole and doing all the other things, okay? That's the other thing we always got to remember. No matter how bad it looks, God's always doing a work in the earth. Always. He's always doing. You can go to the Dark Ages, Middle Ages, Catholic churches running everything, and in the Western world, there's no advancement really in technology and science and music. That ought to tell you what happens when you take God out of it the way he's supposed to be. But anyway, that kind of, church history will tell you there's always a group. And I'm not talking about just Martin Luther, but there were many others. But there was always a group that God was still working in the earth. And so we have a tendency to look out and say, look at all the Asherah pulled. Look at all the idol worship. Look at all the materialism. Look at all the liberalism. Look at all the... I'll give you one. They just had the raise funds for charity thing in Idaho. I forget what it was called. Number one thing people gave to, anybody know? In Idaho. Planned Parenthood. Now, I think that's a misnomer in this sense, that you and I and us and these, we're already given to charity. We're already helping other things. We don't need a special day. So it's those who step in, I guess, and do something in charity once a year, I guess. I don't know if that's a real measure of Idaho as a whole. But you look at that, you go, oh my gosh, that's in Idaho, conservative Idaho. Well, I'm going to tell you this. You can do all they want. God's still doing something. He's still working in the earth. You can look at Europe, and everybody wants to talk about it, about how unchurched, unchristian. I understand that. It was that way when Martin Luther spoke up, too. India was not a godly country at all. And then a guy named Thomas, the disciple, started. China, they don't allow church. I mean, not in a real sense. I mean, they have their sanctioned church, all right? But there's more Christians in China than anywhere else on the planet. You would think in the Muslim countries, man, they're just run amok. The missionaries we support, a good portion of them in Muslim countries. God is doing things, even on the outside. Everybody has an Asherah pole in front of their house, it looks like. Okay? God is doing, he always has that remnant. All right? And the famine in the land, we look at what God did in Joseph, you know, in the coat of many colors guy, right? God was preparing way ahead of time, generation ahead of time, for this to happen. Now, you couldn't see it from the time you're in. And I'll guarantee you, if you happen to be one of those generations that grew up and died in slavery in Egypt, you didn't see Moses coming either. If you'd read your Bible, their Bible in their day, the scriptures, they would have. Okay? But God is still working and doing great and marvelous things. We got to be careful that we don't get down and blue and depressed because all we see is everybody's Asher pole. But God always has an Asher pole cutter downer. Okay? He always has that voice. He always does. In the midst of the Roman mess, Jesus had a cousin that went out before him to prepare a way. Even before, when Jesus was still, you know, making chairs in the carpenter's office, went, out goes John. God's always doing that, and you see that in this particular case. And the great one, of course, is the prophet Elijah. We all know it. God, I'm the only one, you know, in 1 Kings. I'm the only one. And God said, you ain't the only one. Get over yourself. Well, I'm the only one serving you, God. I'm the only one, you know, whatever. But God said, no, no, no. I got more. Don't worry. God's always working in history. So you had these guys doing this healing process through the works of what they had at the time, the law at the time, to bring this healing in the nations, to try to stop this idol worship. And then you had them also functioning in a particular group, not everybody, okay, a remnant, all right? But one of the ways you did this, and this is a theme we see in Judges, one of the way the healing comes about, the restoration comes out, is by promoting righteousness. Stop living like this. Start living like that. And typically, it's not in this story, but typically they remove the outside pressures, the Midianite, the whoever-ite, the outside pressures. Now, but in this case, the pressure was inside. In this case, this all came from within. The battling, the fighting, and all that came about as these idols began to stir up. It all came within. To me, in my view, these guys had a harder ministry than the other ones. They knew, go take the Philistines out. Go take the Amorites out. Listen, that's your brother over there. Don't go take him out. Somehow you've got to do this in a way that brings peace and healing, okay? So they're speaking to this remnant, calling them to righteous living. Then you get to Paul. I know you're calling us to righteous living, but I live in the real world, Pastor Randy. I'm trying to keep my eyes pure as a young man, but you just go to school with me one day and see how well that works out for you. I understand that, right? But 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation has seized me except with that which is common to man. Your temptation isn't any different temptation than David's or Samson's or Moses's. Okay. But God is faithful. Notice the key here. The key is God and his faithfulness, not your ability to resist the temptation. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will make a way that you can stand up under it. I thought he'd remove the temptation. No, he'll make a way for you to stand up underneath it. The important part of this is God is active in the process. He's not passive going, let's see if you can do it. And once you do, I'll bring the Holy Spirit to convict you. You'll pray about it and repent. And you'll learn your lesson. Okay? No. He's active in the process. He's making a way. As, I'll say it this way. As the temptations occurred, he's making a way. You might know some of these scriptures, but Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. That's not a scripture, folks, on if I'm battling the Philistines, I'm stronger. That's when I'm in Paul's place. What I want to do, I can't do. My flesh just can't. Don't. God's here to give strength to that. He's present at ever present help in your time of need. Again, we tend to think when we're laying in the hospital, we tend to think when we're financially we need help. But no, he's the same God that can bring healing in the hospital and financial help is the same God that can bring help in the midst of the temptation. As these guys are talking to the Israelites, he says, you don't understand. My neighbors on the other side got an Asher pole. Here I am. What am I supposed to do? But you ought to see the way their daughters are dressing. You ought to, okay. And he's going to keep calling. They're going to keep calling these people to righteousness. That's what we see over and over and over. And these guys come along and call the people to serve God. Ephesians 16. Finally, when all else is said and done, be strong. Is that what it says? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And we're going to talk about more how you do that, as long as I don't go too long here. And this is where I find interesting. Philippians 4. What scripture am I going to give? For I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We think that means climb Mount Everest. Learn an instrument. You know what I mean? No, wait a minute. If I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength, that means I can overcome the temptation too. Well, actually, I don't. It's the Christ in me that overcomes the temptation. That's that inner part of Paul going, ha-ah, no. So when you can do all things, don't think of it as a spiritual truth that you can apply in your moment of temptation. Same way in Paul, we see this kind of thing. This is regarding physical illness. And he cried out to the Lord 3 times that he would take this from him, a thorn in the flesh, which was sent by who? God, and gave him. God gave him. No, God would never do that. God, if you're sick, you got something wrong. Because God wouldn't do that. Tell that to Job as he's sitting on a pile of ashes covered in boils. God wouldn't do that. Well, God didn't, did he? Well, no and yes. We've talked about the different ways of God's will works. But he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Here's the key. Well, I'll give you a couple verses that give key. Psalms 55:22. Cast your burden upon the Lord. As long as you're relying on yourself, you're back there relying on your ability to obey. You have to cast it on to the Lord. Say, God, I can't. I need you to carry this burden for me. Again, we tend to think of a burden. We have a child that's sick. We're taking grandma or mom through cancer. And God, help me with this burden. But you know, the same's true of the burden of when we struggle with sin and temptation. We can cast that upon him. And he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Isaiah 40:31. Anybody know this one? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, right? We see it on posters. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and not grow weary. Yeah. Again, can you think about that in regard of temptation? Okay. It's not a speech that give like before a ball game. Fourth element, they stirs you up. You can go out and do it. You can fly like an eagle. We tend to think of it, but that's the way it is. If I just wait on the Lord. Okay, God, I'm going to stop. Now, this is my personal interpretation. Wait. If you go to a restaurant today, who will help you? A waiter. See, most people, I don't think of it this way. Think of wait as just, I'm waiting on the Lord. See, I don't look at it that way. For me, it speaks to me this, wait upon the Lord. I'll wait on him like a waiter waits a table. I will be serving God, doing things for him, and I'll guarantee you what, you'll have a whole less trouble with temptation. For one, you won't have the time. Okay. But as you're serving God, it's a whole lot, temptation's a whole lot to crumble to if you're waiting on him in that sense. I'm not saying that's what the word means here, but that's the way it ministers to me, and I've done that for some years. Okay. Moving past that one. The other thing I think, the idea that, so they preserved Israel, protected Israel, defended Israel, okay, the various meanings of that word, all right, in the senses that they called them to righteousness. When they were living righteous, there were no outside judge, no outside enemy coming in, right? So one of the way they preserved or defended Israel was not setting up fortresses out on the outer banks of the boundaries of Israel, not by building up bigger armies, but one of the way they defended or saved or preserved Israel was calling them to righteousness. You do it with your children. You try to teach them certain lessons to how to live right so it prevents certain other ugly things from happening in their life that they'll pay consequences, okay? That preservation side of it, in a very natural sense, no outside enemy. I would suggest to you, in the civil war that happens within you, there's a way for you to do preservation. If you concentrate on the righteous things that God calls us to, if you're busy doing the right things, it's a whole lot harder to do the wrong things. We've all heard this. Well, how's the old idiom go? Idle hands, help me out with that. Devil's workshop, there you go, okay? I know this, I got an 8-year-old boy. Don't let him be bored, okay? Bored kids get in trouble, all right? I'm not saying that's a sin nature, it's just they get bored and they got more energy and they know what to do with. But the same is true of a Christian. If you're not active on the good side, you have a tendency to settle down, relax, the defenses drop, and things start coming at you. So you could be proactive in that preservation side, in the sense, okay, being preventing the enemy attack by being active in that sense. But then I want to bring sort of in a conclusion the more eternal idea of that, the more spiritual side of that, a preservation. And here's the dilemma. So here you go. You've gone through a series of stupids, because they tend to, you know, you do one stupid and you try to fix that on your own. The next thing you know, you got another mess you're in, and the next thing you know, you got another mess you're in. Life does that. I think we've all been there, where the one mistake tends to get upon the other, and there's the idea out there, if you make enough of them in a row. Now, if you do one 5 years ago, and you do one 5 years before that, and if you do one 5 years before that, that doesn't affect anything. But if you do those all three in a row, you're now backslid and going to hell. Okay, for some reason, time makes a difference to God, okay? This idea. Okay, but hang on, wait a minute. If I'm not saved by my works, I don't maintain them by my works. That's what Paul is saying to the Galatians. Who bewitched you? Who fooled you? Who conned you to think what you could gain without works, you maintain by works? Who are you listening to? John 6, verse 37 through 40. This is Jesus speaking. All the Father gives me will come to me. Oh, I could stop right there and we can have a heyday with that one. It doesn't say all who's been, it's offered to, some will come. All that the Father has given me, when did he, past tense, will come. Oh, that messes with a lot of people's theology. Okay, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Oh, well, that's drive away. You can walk away, though. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. So Jesus wants to do whose will? Okay. This is the will of him who sent me. This is God's will, that I shall lose none that he has given me. If Jesus could lose one, Jesus himself isn't doing the will of God, and he himself then is a sinner. Well, it does mean that. Watch. And I will raise them up in the last day. He's talking about those he'll raise up, us. I will lose none. That's the Father's will. And I hate to tell you, I'm here to do the Father's will, so it's going to get done. I will lose none. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. Now, I'm not going to deal with everyone who looks and believes and how that happens. But notice this. What kind of life will they have? Eternal. How long is eternal? Okay. If at all you could lose it, is it eternal? Does it? You have it, it's eternal. You lose it, then it's not eternal. Then you get it back, then it's eternal. By definition, John 3:16 tells you when you're in, you're in. Why? Because it ain't by your works. It's by the work of Christ. It's eternal life. I don't know. You don't have to be a college graduate to figure out eternal means always. Right? You know what I'm saying? John 10:28. I, Christ speaking, give eternal life to them. That is the ones that believe. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. In case you didn't know, you're a someone. Okay. I think the most famous one you might know out is Romans chapter 8. Neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities or anything. None. Anything in all creation. You part of creation. You don't get to snatch out because you didn't snatch in, if I could say it like that. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Now, I got to do this. What did I preach before I preached this? There's rules you have to follow. God expects you to be godly and live godly and righteous. So don't tell me I'm giving you a license to sin by saying that God, your salvation is secure in Christ. Don't tell me I'm giving you, don't pull that fast one. You're just giving them a license to sin because you said if they're in, they could do what I want and they're saved. That is not what I said. I started with, you should be living a certain way. And as long, 1 Peter 1:3-5. Praise be to the God, our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, in his great mercy. I'll preach that for a while, Glenn. His great mercy has given us new birth. What gave me new birth? His mercy, not my actions. Okay. Into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, fade, or spoil. It doesn't change in degree. Kept in heaven. Oh, I'm so glad it's not kept here. Who, through faith, are shielded or kept by God's power until the coming of the salvation that has been revealed at the last time. It's kept in heaven, kept by God, until that last time comes. This God is the one through his word who... Now, the Old Testament's a little rough because the Old Testament is giving us natural examples. And natural examples always run a little short. But we know the Bible says that they're there to teach us and they're types and shadows of things to come. When did Israel stop being God's chosen children? Never did. Well, it says here that you divorced and you were unfaithful and they were... I understand that. But you're going to get yourself in a whole lot of mess if you don't think they're God's children today. They've always been God's children. I've always said this before. The prodigal son, what we call the prodigal son. When did the prodigal son stop being the father's son? Never. Now, it took the son a little while to figure that out. But we are called to live righteous lives, to avoid sin and ungodliness in the world, like the Israelites here. And there are curses and blessings that come in life from our actions, but not in Christ, in the end all. My eternal place is held solid by the cross and resurrection of Christ, not by my works. Therefore, by definition, it's not by my water baptism either. That'll get me in trouble. It's also by definition then not speaking in tongues. Okay. That's the part I want you to grab here. We see these stories of these people fading and going in and out, stumbling and falling and worshiping idols and all of that. But God, continuing in his love, grace, and mercy, brings discipline and correction to pull them, play it back to the place of walking out righteousness. Okay? But they're all, in all cases, at all times, they are God's chosen children. He never abandoned them. He says it, I will never leave you or forsake you. well, wait a minute, if I can walk away, and he goes, okay, I'm done. I guess I, that's not true. Read Psalms 22. God is the one who preserves. So when I falter and when I sin, like I mentioned earlier, I call on the name of Jesus. I don't say this, God, I promise I'll never do that again. Yeah, right. No, I call upon the work of the one who got me in, the one that keeps me in. It's his work I continually call upon. Even when I stumble, when I don't stumble, it's, God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that I am secure in you. God, I thank you that even though I did that, I thought that you covered it, you carried it, you will continue to carry it, God. I thank, and I am motivated then to live the righteous thing. See, people who think that this doctrine gives you license to sin, you just don't understand. You don't understand. Let's stand. I can see the babies aren't the only ones getting antsy, so. Father, I give you praise and thanks that you do call us to righteousness, that even in this life, there's blessings about living right. Thank you, God, that you didn't leave us. Don't leave us there. You continually call us out of it. But God, I thank you most of all, Lord, that my eternity with you is simply based upon you, and you're eternal, the same yesterday, today. You're the solid thing that I can anchor my eternal place to. Not in my own abilities. I don't rely on them. I thank you, God, that you came to free me from the bondage of doing it myself and maintaining it myself, but that I give it over to you. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.